Pilots from the US Air Force are in Wiltshire today for commemorations marking the role of the American military during World War II. A memorial is being unveiled in Ramsbury on the site of the old airfield where some of the troops were based in the lead-up to D-Day. Jack Green's uncle was among those who served there.
I have a personal account of his where he talked about his participation flying, dropping the 101st Airborne over Normandy. He also was an avid home movie enthusiast, which is kind of rare in the 1940s, and he actually took color films of Ramsbury and his unit.
It brings us nicely into the fact over the last week you'll have no doubt heard about some of the tales of heroism as Britain remembers those who took part in D-Day. The 75th anniversary of the biggest seaborne invasion in history has been remembered in Ramsbury today, where thousands of American soldiers were based before going off to fight. It'll be attended by a number of current members of the US Air Force. BBC Wiltshire's Karen Gardner has been meeting some of them, and first the organiser, Neil Stevens.
We are dedicating two memorials. One is a memorial to all who served, and it's a general remembrance memorial. That's being dedicated at 11 o'clock in the woods adjacent to the former Ramsbury Airfield. And then at midday, we are dedicating a memorial to all who served at RAF Ramsbury, with particular focus on the 437th Troop Carrier Group who flew from Ramsbury on D-Day and were based there for 12 months.
And we'll find a bit more about the inheritors of that tradition in a minute. Jack Green is here to be part of the ceremony. Jack, where are you from?
I am from Greenville, South Carolina.
And you had a relative who not only was stationed here in the war, but also recorded it in quite a lot of detail.
Yes, my uncle, who I was named after, Second Lieutenant Jack A. Green, was a pilot in the 85th Troop Carrier Squadron, 437th Troop Carrier Group. And he was very much, he wrote about, I have a personal account of his, where he talked about his participation flying, dropping the 101st Airborne over Normandy. He also was an avid home movie enthusiast, which is kind of rare in the 1940s, and he actually took color films of Ramsbury and his unit and their planes and things of that nature.
Do you have that film?
Not here, but we do have it. It's been transferred to DVD.
Oh, wow.
So it's featured on the 437th website.
So you're very glad to be here for this. It's a really important day.
Yes, it very much is. The troop carriers during World War II, the bombers and fighters were very, very glamorous. And the troop carriers were kind of there. But with the TV series Band of Brothers, the contribution of the troop carriers and the airborne divisions have become much more prominent and much more popular. So now they're kind of getting the credit they've deserved all along.
Colonel Patrick Winstead, Vice Commander, the 437th Airlift Wing. Now, you fly those enormous planes.
Yes, ma'am. The C-17, yes.
Which we're very familiar in the skies above Wiltshire because of the Royal International Air Tattoo. So, and you are direct inheritors of the legacy from the guys who were based here in the Second World War.
Yeah, absolutely. So the 437th Troop Carrier Group, we are now a direct linear ancestor of that group. From the Army Air Forces back in World War II. And so now we're based at Joint Base Charleston in South Carolina, flying those C-17s, still doing the very same type of missions that were carried out at a Ramsbury Airfield.
I'm surrounded by American accents, so you brought a few of your colleagues with you.
We did. So we're here on a training mission where we're doing some low-level training and some flight training that we conducted this past week. So we had different people, our maintainers, our aerial port folks, some of our support folks, medics, our PA is here. And so we did some great integration with the Royal Air Force there at Bryce Norton. But then one of the benefits is for this memorial dedication, we're going to be able to support, and we'll have our airmen out there at the dedication. And we're also supporting it with a flyover with the C-17 during the dedication at Ramsbury Airfield.
I think it's lovely for Wiltshire to have you here, and it strengthens the memories and strengthens the relationship, doesn't it?
Between, yes, ma'am.
Because certainly, and the villages of Auburn and Ramsbury have great memories of the American visitors.
Right,
some,
exactly.
Some of who left quite significant things behind.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. And it just goes to show, you know, our country's from long ago, just the alliance that we have, talking with the folks that have done the integration, and I got to talk to the C-17 squadron commander there at Bryce Norton, the similar things, the challenges that we both have, both in our Air Force and in the Royal Air Force, as well as the pride that we have in what we're doing today to support and defend our nation and people around the world, but as well the lineage and the courage and the heroism of our ancestors who've done this fight before. It's just amazing.
American troops say they're proud to be in Wiltshire for D-Day commemorations. A memorial is being unveiled on the site of an old airfield in Ramsbury where some of the troops were based. Colonel Patrick Winstead is among the group who've come over for today's ceremony.
We are now a direct linear ancestor of that group from the Army Air Forces back in World War II. And so now we're based at Joint Base Charleston in South Carolina, flying those C-17s, still doing the very same type of mission that were carried out of Ramsbury Airfield.
Yeah, good morning, Jono. What a glorious morning it is as well here in Ramsbury. I'm standing in what most people probably think is just a field, actually, albeit a very pleasant field here on top of a hill in the Wiltshire countryside. And relatively early on a Sunday morning with the sun shining down like it is here today, it's hard to see beyond the tranquility of the Kennet Valley stretching out in front of us with the fields and the rolling countryside. But if you could jump into a time machine and go back 75 years, this place, certainly in the days leading up to D-Day, would have been a hive of activity. That's what's being remembered here this morning at ceremonies marking the role that RAF Ramsbury had, well, in world history, really. Local people will be joined by service personnel from the American Air Force who've come all the way here to remember the role that their predecessors in the military had when they were based here. Roger Day is a local historian. He's here with me this morning. You've written loads of books on this part of the world. Tell me a bit more about what happened here in World War II and in those weeks and days leading up to D-Day itself.
Well, as you say, in the weeks and days leading up to D-Day, Ramsbury was really buzzing. There was continual activity as the 437th Troop Carrier Group, the American unit that was based here, was training, pulling gliders up into there on a regular basis, massing formations of aircraft in the sky. It really was just an incredibly busy place.
But why Ramsbury in the first place? Why have a base up here?
Well, it's obviously on top of a hill. Perfect from an airfield's point of view. It's the main runway is aligned with the prevailing wind. You couldn't really find a better spot for an airfield. It wasn't built for the Americans. It was actually built for the RAF as a bomber command airfield, but became surplus to requirement and was then handed over to the Americans.
And nevertheless, yeah, as you say, the Americans came in and they had a big role in the community, didn't they?
They did, yes. They mixed in with the local people. There was a Liberty Run that was GI trucks. Once a week would take the service personnel into Swindon where they would have a whale of a time. And of course they would also frequent the pubs and fish and chip shops of the local villages and also catch the train to London and beyond.
So we have a ceremony here today remembering those involved in World War II. And people might be thinking, well, why talk about D-Day now? It's a few days after the anniversary, but you were telling me that D-Day was just the start of the invasion, wasn't it, of Nazi-occupied Europe?
It was. Viewers, or listeners, may remember hearing people talk about D-Day plus one, D-Day plus two, and so on. And these were the days after D-Day when an awful lot was going on. The airfield was still very busy. It was still taking supplies across to France. It was bringing the wounded back. So it continued to be busy for weeks and months after the invasion.
And what sort of aircraft left from here?
The powered aircraft was what the Americans referred to as the C-47, and the British know as the Dakota. There were getting on for about 90 of them up here, and they pulled into the sky gliders, a mix of British Horsa glider and the American CG-4A Waco glider.
And they were pretty basic, weren't they, the gliders?
They were very basic, they were indeed. The Americans had trained on the Waco in the States, but when they got here they were given these large British gliders, which they didn't like very much. I've got a quote here if you'd like
yeah,
to hear,
go for it.
Hear it from this was from a glider pilot, Jim Skidmore. He was in the 86th Squadron, and he remembers there was a very noticeable difference between the two types when being towed in flight by a C-47. One reason for this, in addition to the obvious difference in size and weight, was the material used in the manufacture of the tow ropes. The Horsa was provided with a hemp rope, which seemed to lack any give whatsoever, whereas the CG-4A had a nylon tow rope, which possessed a certain amount of elasticity.
It's just nothing like what we kind of see today with the technology and the computers and the radars that the planes have these days.
No, they were learning on their feet, they really were. Do you want me to do another extract or not?
Well, actually, we're going to hear now from someone who actually flew one of these gliders. It's 94-year-old Laurie Whedon. He actually flew from RAF Blakehill Farm, which is just outside Cricklade, to the front line in France. He was in a horse, a glider, and he's been telling me about what it was like training in Wiltshire.
That was the intention, to eliminate the men from the boys. A lot of drill, a lot of spit and polish. And we used to go in the summer heat, used to go for run marches, which were quite testing, and quite a lot of chaps got returned to unit because they came in last. It was quite rough and tough.
Why did you choose to join that particular regiment?
And I wanted to do something useful. I had no particular flying aspiration. Prior to volunteering for the glider pilot regiment, we had been able to volunteer for aircrew, but those transfers were stopped shortly before I joined the glider pilots.
And tell me about the gliders, because we think about aircraft these days that are involved in conflict, you know, the technology involved, computers. These were, you know, they made from plywood and canvas, weren't they?
That's right, but they were a very fine aircraft. A masterpiece of British design. They're very good. And the great thing about them was that they had flaps like barn doors, which enabled you to come over a landing zone, put full flap on, and you could come down like a lift.
And you flew from Blakehill Farm up near Cricklade on D-Day,
That's
I believe.
Correct.
And tell me about what that was like, what the conditions were like.
There was six crews detailed for this operation in about mid-May, about a fortnight before the operation, and it was a moonlight landing without flare path. No further information, and so we did seven practice flights and landed back on the airfield. I think they put out a single lamp for us on the airfield, and all without accident. Everybody survived that, all right. And then when we thought that we were, as there were 30 crews available, we thought that we were going to be supplying the French resistance. But in the event when we were briefed, which I think was the 2nd of June, we realised that it was the big do, D-Day.
What sort of person do you think you had to be to succeed in situations like that?
Lucky people. Yes, it was a big element of luck, always. I think most of us who joined the regiment at that stage wanted to do something useful. Just very pleased that I was able to participate in two of the very important operations of the war and to come out unscathed.
That's D-Day veteran Laurie Whedon there. What a privilege it was to meet and chat to him a bit earlier on this year. So many stories like that, in fact, in the coverage of D-Day commemorations over the last week. Here in Ramsbury today, a dedicated group of volunteers are just finalising preparations for some memorials that are being unveiled here later on today. You can probably hear the hustle and bustle of trucks and things delivering some of the items that are going to be on show here later on today. Roger Day, you've been involved in some of those preparations. Just tell me a bit more about what's happening here later.
Well, there are two memorials being unveiled this morning. The first one at 10 o'clock in Burntwood, which is a memorial dedicated to the men of the who perished during the First and Second World War. And the second memorial just up here in the centre of the airfield, which is commemorating the part that Ramsbury Airfield played in the Second World War.
And that's getting in the way about 11 o'clock, did you say?
11 o'clock for the first memorial. This one will be at midday, 12 o'clock.
Yeah, good morning, Jono. 156,000 soldiers and sailors and pilots took part in D-Day, the largest seaborne invasion in history. You chuck in thousands of boats and planes into the mix, and it's kind of an unimaginable scale, really. And it's the bravery of people involved in that invasion of Nazi-occupied Europe that's being recognised here today at the former RAF Ramsbury airfield site. And if you don't know where that is, you wind your way out of Ramsbury in the east of Wiltshire, south of the village, you go up a hill towards Froxfield, looking down towards the Kennet Valley, and it's a peaceful field, really, just off to the right, once an airbase that was the last place of safety for many of those going into war from here. Some of them, of course, never returned home after taking off from here back in 1944. So it is here today that two memorials are being unveiled. Peter Wilson's farm is on the land where the airfield once was, and he's here with me now. Peter, just tell me a bit more about those memorials then. Two, as I say, being unveiled here.
Yes, so we've got one being unveiled in a wood where we planted 420 trees in November, donated by the Woodland Trust to commemorate the centenary of the end of the First World War. And that was meant to be the project, but with the local history of the airfield up here, we felt that it was only right to have a memorial up on the Ramsbury airfield, and that fitted in perfectly with the 75th anniversary of D-Day.
And tell me, we're standing actually in front of the airfield memorial now, and it's quite a remarkable sight, really. It's actually a piece of the old airfield, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's an old anchor point for camouflage nets on what would have been a bomb store if this had ended up being a bomber airfield. And when these airfields were constructed, they weren't certain what they were going to be used for first.
So it's a chunky bit of stone, isn't it, really, is what we're looking at?
Yeah, we're talking sort of 2.5 tonnes of concrete that's then got the metal bars coming out of it to then anchor things down to it.
And as I say, this is on your land. Is this something that you're going to allow people to just wander up to and come and see?
Most definitely, and we've made sure that both the memorials are positioned next to rights of way so that people can walk past. And also, as people are using the rights of way, they can suddenly realise the history that they're standing on.
Your family, you were telling me, has been here since 1938. You grew up here. Did you ever find any remnants from the airbase?
We found small bits, and actually the most exciting bit was when we were preparing the land for the tree planting, we found an exhaust flame damper off of Dakota C-47 aircraft, which hopefully is going to end up on one that's being restored at the moment.
So the airfield, it's still sort of intact. It's, you know, it's kind of broken up a bit, and there's a few potholes on it. You were saying that actually the M4 has something to thank from the airfield. Tell me about that.
Yes, when sort of after the war, well, a fair bit of time after the war, a lot of the concrete tracks were pulled up. So we've got about 3-4 metres width left of what was 70 metres wide. And all the concrete that came up was crushed and went into the building of the M4 motorway.
Let's just look at the memorial itself. It says, RAF Ramsbury, this memorial is dedicated to the units based at RAF Ramsbury between 1942 and 1946 at 1:59 a.m. on the 6th of June 1944, D-Day, 52 C-47 transport aircraft from the 437th TCG, each towing a glider, thundered past this very spot, carrying elements of the US 82nd Airborne Division on their way to Normandy to free Europe from Nazi tyranny. Peter, how do you feel when you think back and you hear about some of the stories of what happened?
Just immensely proud, really, of what the previous generations did for us to give us our freedom. And quite often, using the concrete tracks we do for the farm, you pull up at the end of the runway and you think what the atmosphere must have been like before the planes took off, carrying all those paratroopers and towing the gliders for D-Day. You just can't imagine what was really going through their heads.
Absolutely. So two memorials being unveiled here today, and also a flypast a bit later on as well. If people want to come and have a look at that, what time is it happening and what do they need to look out for?
The flypast is being part of the second dedication, which is due to start at 12 o'clock. So if you can't make the first one at 11, if you get up here probably 11:30, 11:45 for the start of the second one, then you should see the flypast of a C-17, which is pretty big, impressive aeroplane.
Look forward to that. So, Jono, yeah, there we have it. An important event here today, commemorating such a significant moment in World War II, and all wars, in fact, with that other memorial down in Burntwood. A chance to remember those involved, many of them gone, but certainly not forgotten.